going to read from a tantra that accompanies the one we read recently, the Supreme Source, the original Dzogchen Tantra. But this one is translated by a different person, actually two people, Kennard Lippmann and Merrill Peterson. And every translation is slightly different. And it's useful to read several translations to be able to triangulate the signifiers in order to have a more precise understanding of the actual signified that is being taught in another language and another context that English cannot grasp in the same direct and saturated way as the culture out of which it originally emerged. Keep in mind that these are the ultimate level of teachings that were never dispersed to the public. It's only now, in the fall of Tibet and the diaspora of the Buddhist tradition, that these texts not only are translated into English, but are made available to the public. Previous to this time, one had to go to a guru and usually study for many years before this level of information was delivered. The original or preliminary teachings were within a dualistic frame of reference. And you would visualize gods, goddesses, Jnani Buddhas, and you would do various other exercises, tummo and other pranayamas and other ways of relaxing the body and bringing the mind into stillness through focusing on a mantra, focusing on a Tibetan letter, focusing on particular visualizations of a graduated kind to enable one to get to the level in which the ego had become completely absorbed, at least into the soul. And it was only when the Lama felt you had reached that level that these teachings would be given. And the reason for that is that if you're still in the ego level and you hear these teachings, you'll misunderstand them. And it's very likely you'll mistake the teachings for nihilism or for a sense that you can do whatever you want to do. There are no rules, because non-duality means no difference between good and bad, right and wrong, yes and no. But remember, this is not the non-duality of the ego. It's the non-duality of God that is being referred to. Even though the term they use for God is the absolute and the Buddha nature and pure and total consciousness, nonetheless, it's God who is beyond good and evil, not the human ego. The human ego is subject to dharma and karma and must abide by that to avoid suffering and to be able to connect with the non-dual presence that is beyond duality. Very important to keep that in mind, because if you try to process this from within a dualistic, egoic frame of reference, you'll come to incorrect conclusions that will bring you into lower states rather than higher ones. And this is why they were very careful not to deliver these prematurely. But if you think about this as a teaching that God is giving about God's own behavior. Did God do wrong by destroying Sodom and Gomorrah? Was it a violation of the commandment of thou shalt not kill? God destroys everything and everyone. God is beyond those commandments. God gives those commandments, but God does not follow them. God is above the law. The problem is the ego also wants to be above the law. And the ego does not have that right and will suffer the karmic consequences. But if one has already died to the ego and abides in that state of God consciousness, there is a freedom that the ego cannot know that will not cause an overstepping or a transgression that will cause harm, but will break free of the conventional rule-based ethics that the ego is stuck in that actually creates suffering because it's not accurate in alignment with the will of God. It is a lower state that is meant to keep one within a superstructure of control that will enable one to grow in humility until the ego can be dissolved and the consciousness realize its expanded nature that then authorizes the consciousness to wield the powers that come with elevated consciousness and a higher level of responsibility for maintenance of the cosmos and the transformation that takes place at the end of Kali Yuga as we transition into the singularity and then beyond into a new world. Only those who are in that consciousness of the non-duality of life and death, of being and non-being, will be able to cross over this Red Sea from the Egypt of Kali Yuga into the promised land of Sat Yuga. Okay, so I'm going to read a few sections of this. The book is called You Are the Eyes of the World, but that's a translation that doesn't come from the original. Listen, great being. So you're being addressed as great being, not as ego. Do not create duality from the unique state. There is one state, a unique state, that is true, that is the natural state. Do not turn that into duality. Be in that state without subject-object differentiation. Okay. Happiness and misery are one in pure and total presence. So they translated it pure and total presence, not pure and total consciousness. An important distinction if you are confused and think consciousness means thought and cognition. No, it is absolute presence, silence, awareness without change. Buddhas and sentient beings are one in the nature of mind. Don't think Buddhas are elevated and people in an ego state are lower. No, there is non-duality even at that level if you are the Buddha. Appearances and beings, the environment and its inhabitants are one in reality. In other words, you're no different than the candle, than the floor, than the water, than anything. Why? Because this is a simulation, a hologram. It's all made of light. In the same way that you see a movie on the screen, the people in the film and the trees and the ocean and whatever else is being filmed are all just light. There is no difference between them. They have no essential differentiation because it's all one beam of light. That's what's happening here. There's a beam of light that's creating this illusion of multiplicity, but it is all one and it comes from the zero point. That is where you are, what you are, and what must be realized. So, even the duality of truth and falsehood are the same in reality. Do not latch on to happiness and do not eliminate misery. They are the same. The Buddha is not happy and does not know misery either. That duality is an illusion that only egos suffer from. Thereby everything is accomplished. So there is nothing to do except escape from the illusion of duality, which you are not in the first place. But you have projected yourself in it, perhaps, and identified as a character in The Matrix, but you're not in it. There is nothing to accomplish but realize that. Okay. Attachment to pleasure brings misery. This is what the Tao Te Ching has been emphasizing. Total clarity, being non-conceptual, is self-refreshing, pristine awareness. So total clarity is not the mind trying to figure things out. You'll never get to clarity that way. You'll only get to deeper levels of confusion. All the philosophers who have written all those huge books trying to figure things out conceptually ended up just as confused as when they started, because you can't reach it conceptually. You can use the mind's refinement to understand this, but then you must go beyond the mind to realize its truth. If you stay in thought, you will never reach clarity. You'll never reach freedom. You'll never reach the self. So, listen, he says. This is how to apply the teaching. Because all virtue and non-virtue, acceptance and rejection, beauty and ugliness, big and small, are one in pure and total presence. Realize there is nothing in reality to accept or reject. There is no beauty or ugliness, no doing or non-doing, no center or periphery. Realize pure and total consciousness, pure presence here, is without root, basis, or origin. This is very important. People always want to find their root, their ground. There is none. You have no origin. You have no past. This hologram is all an illusion. You've never been in it. You're uncreated. But there is nothing to hold on to. Listen, this is how to apply the teaching. Do not go against what you do. Because doing and not doing are unborn. By knowing this, whatever you do is the unborn reality. Listen, because the way of life lived according to creative intelligence is like space. It cannot be measured or enumerated. So creative intelligence is space, mental space, the space of presence, uninterrupted by thought. Intelligence is the space between and beyond thought. It is not contained by thought. Thought is a derivative of intelligence. But if you focus on thought alone, you will have only very unintelligent thoughts. The intelligence that can be delivered and translated into thought comes from the silence. So, listen. Being non-dual, you are beyond the limits of existence and non-existence. This is pure and total presence's way of behaving. Even the five desirable things, meaning the senses and what they can grasp and experience, should be understood as pure and total presence. The five objects of desire and aversion are also just pure and total presence. Understand the five causes of sensation to be the work of this pure and total presence. Understand that the three realms and their life forms are the activity of the nature of mind. Everything, everyone, every being is the activity of a single mind. Don't think of them as separate entities, because if you do, you'll get lost in paranoid relationality. The way of life which does not recognize the unborn is not the source or way of the conquerors. I, pure and total consciousness, the creative intelligence which manifests universes, do not teach to those who surround me a reality that could be affirmed or denied. I do not teach the splitting of the unique into two. I do not analyze that which is beyond analysis. I do not correct that which is naturally uncontrived. Let whatever you do or whatever appears just be in its natural state, without premeditation. This is true freedom. So, I hope that you understand that this freedom is the freedom of the self, freedom from the ego and the illusion of duality, the illusion of time and space, the illusion of having been born and suffered and having certain qualities that you don't like or that others don't like or that you project that others don't like, or feeling some lack or inadequacy and always comparing yourself and always resisting others and fighting for your autonomy and trying to figure out things on your own, etc., etc. All of that is the delusion of the ego. Realize your freedom from that and from all suffering as the infinite creative intelligence that created the whole universe. Don't settle for a crumb of reality when you can have the whole infinity of all that is as the manifestation of yourself. Give yourself eternal life, not just the short lifespan of the body. Give yourself infinite intelligence, not the tiny sliver that the ego mind can grasp, that is always inaccurate and causes your own suffering. Remain in the absolute consciousness that is natural, that doesn't have to be corrected, that you don't have to be achieved by any effort, because you are that always. And simply by realizing that in the non-conceptual presence that is always underlying the chatter of the ego mind, always already liberated, that liberation will break through into the phenomenal plane and change everything in the blink of an eye. Because when you see with the third eye of the real self, all is beauty, all is perfection, all is infinite goodness, all is joy, all is love, all is one. You are that. May you know the peace that comes of silencing the ego mind and entering the non-conceptual field of total clarity, and realize you are unborn and have never suffered from karma or illusion, because you are not the ego, not the body, not the figure in the holographic matrix that you once identified with. And be free. And may you know the even deeper peace of that realization of the infinite creative intelligence and joy of that power of consciousness that creates worlds and withdraws them back into the singularity, and remains always liberated and beyond, and enjoying the infinite beauty of your own creation. and yourself as the formless, creative essence. And may you know the supreme peace of realizing that absolute power that never changes, is beyond time, has no interest in any universe, plays no part in either creation, sustenance, or destruction, but is the source of all and filled forever with infinite bliss.